All right, we will get started with the 8:45 Recreation Committee meeting. First thing is approval of the minutes from the November 30th, 2020 meeting.
Move to approve.
Second, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And there's nobody else to oppose. So next is public comments. Is there anybody for public comments for the Recreation Committee? Going once, going twice. All right, on to number four. Discussion and possible action regarding a bird sanctuary at Rifle Range Road Park. Mr. Steve.
Hello, good morning. Oh, good. I didn't think it was on. There we go. Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Glad to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You too.
This is brought back from last month. We had discussed about a little bit last month, and wanted to bring back a little bit more information. Since last month, I was able to speak with Jennifer Terrell. She was with the Audubon Society, and I got some good information from her about bird sanctuaries and what it would entail. And to my surprise, a bird sanctuary is a relatively simple parameters as to what it entails, but it is something that goes through in its simplest form. It's an area designated by a bill going through the legislature in Columbia that primarily pertains to restricting on hunting, trapping, and disturbing birds. So it's basically a no hunting, leave birds alone, leave them in the natural habitat. That is it in its simplest form. A bird sanctuary that we would want to promote, or if we were to do something along these lines, you would probably do other things to enhance habitat for the wildlife. You could do things with signage and educational things. There's plant life that you can put in there, plants that encourages habitat. And there's steps that you can take to improve an area for a place for birds to live. But in its simplest form, it is simply designating it as a sanctuary through a bill through Columbia where birds will not be hunted or trapped or anything along those lines.
So just to build off of that, so am I hearing that we cannot actually officially designate it a bird sanctuary? That has to go through the legislature?
That is correct. That is correct to officially designate a bird sanctuary. However, I also had discussion with Charleston County Parks and Recreation. They have some wildlife specialists that work for them. Matt Moldenhauer is one of them that I spoke with and had good conversation with him about the area. And in our discussion, we really feel like it would make sense to take steps at this. We could take steps at this time to provide educational signage, a bird watching area, an area where we have access to an area to be able to see birds and have educational signage regarding their habitat and the types of birds that are there and information. Kind of similar if you go to Shem Creek and you walk along Shem Creek and you see the information that's along the boardwalk over there. You could do that type of signage in an area. That's not designating it as a sanctuary, but it's still providing a good bird watching area, and something like that could be done at this time. They were suggesting that to make it an actual bird sanctuary prior to construction occurring over there, and there will be construction on the roads of the Billy Swells extension and the Long Point extension in those areas, and also even the pond area. There is going to be some expansion to that pond area dealing with drainage with those construction projects. To designate it as a sanctuary prior to construction probably would be counterproductive to what we want to do, and it could hinder our construction process later on.
Yeah.
But there are steps that we could take at this time to provide some educational signage and stuff along those lines. That's really the information I was able to bring back.
Well, currently Rifle Range Park is just land at this point in time. Is it accessible to the public in any way, shape, or form? I mean, I'm just wondering, is this a putting up signage and that kind of thing, is that something that would happen prior to construction of the park and would create access, or is there current access?
I'm glad you mentioned that. People do access the area. It's not secured or anything like that, and people do access the area. However, we are going to be encouraging access to that area. We received a trails grant from the South, I forgot what was the name of the trails grant?
South Carolina
of
program.
the trails program. We've received a trails grant to be able to develop some trails out there in the area. And that project is going to be starting soon. It's being awarded in January, and notice to proceed starts in January with an expected completion date sometime around March.
Okay.
That will basically, all it's going to be doing is providing a trailhead kind of down here in this area. If you look at the map, right around this area, there'll be a trailhead created. There are some existing trails that are out there that would be just cleaned up to be able to give people an access to walk and bike through the area. So, and then part of the trails would be going near the pond area. And so allowing the public to go out there, walk, and just have a natural area to walk through and see the wildlife is something that we could do in the near future once the trails are completed.
The other question I have is the cost of putting up these educational features. Is this something that would be shared with the county? It would be a joint project, or is this something that would be covered by the trails grant? Just because I know we don't have any allocated funding for Rifle Range Park at this time.
We would have to explore what the cost would be. Right now, if we were talking about doing it only on the side that is intended to be Town of Mount Pleasant property. Now, I have to explain again, I think we said that before. Right now, the entire property is jointly owned. Mm-hmm. One side doesn't belong to us, one side doesn't belong to them. It's entirely jointly owned. But the intention would be to put up signage on our own on the side that would belong to the town.
And what is the status of that? Because I know we really can't move forward with Rifle Range Park until that's resolved with the county. Is that where are we with that discussion?
Our attorneys are contacting their attorneys to work on the deeds along those lines. I don't know, is Dave Baglerini here? Is not. Oh, he is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Briefly, we have been preparing at least the preliminary documents to separate the property. The next issue is going to be our projects, our road projects, because those plans and construction and completion of those plans are going to define the boundaries. So we're probably about 3 or 4 months out before we have the actual deeds exchanged, but that is underway.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think in theory, doing what you recommended, Mr. Girk, is really the right way to go to let maybe find out how much it's going to cost to put up the educational things and put up sort of that and figure out where that funding could come from. I don't know if it would be covered by the trails grant or if that's only for building the trails.
It is only for building the trails. Not to say that there couldn't possibly be some money available to do that. What we submitted for the trails grant was well prior to any discussion about the bird sanctuary or anything along those lines. If there was some money available, I suppose it probably could be incorporated into that, but we would need to get their approval on that.
Okay, thank you.
Sounds like a good plan to me as well. Any other questions or thoughts? All right, we will move on to number 5, discussion and possible action regarding parking at Memorial Waterfront Park.
All right, this is another one that was brought back from last month. We were able to have some further conversations involving the police department and also involving the provider. And by the way, there is no provider. There is a provider that has given us information about what they could provide. I'm sure anything that would eventually go out would probably go out in an RFP of some sort to get information from different providers and see what they could offer us. But there were some questions asked last month regarding the mobile app system, and we talked about the mobile app system and some of its advantages over those kiosks and the meter in the arms or meters, and we talked about there was some discussion. I'll leave it here. That's kind of irrelevant. There was some discussion regarding the flexibility, and is the system able to have flexibility where, if desired, Mount Pleasant residents didn't have to pay, or for a portion of time they didn't have to pay, and we were able to confirm that with the provider that those sort of things certainly can be done to, you know, it can be incorporated into a mobile app system. There is a great deal of flexibility in how it's built. Obviously, that would impact the revenue that comes in, you know, comes into the town, you know, for that. There was also some discussion regarding the enforcement and what the cost of enforcement would be. We had Pat Carter and Mark Arnold sat in with me from the police department. They sat in with me on the meeting and learned a little bit more about how the enforcement would work and work with tablets that they would be able to have to be able to go by and be able to see the license plates and check it. The license plates to see if they are paid or not paid. And I had some discussion with them regarding the cost for enforcement and whether the cost for enforcement would be an additional officer that would be required or if it would be done by a officer that is already on patrol in that area. And at this time, their intention would be to cover that with an officer that would be on patrol in that area. So there wouldn't be an additional direct cost related to the implementation of it. Certainly, if expansion of that duty became necessary, there could be some labor costs that would be included, be assigned to this project if that was deemed necessary in the future.
Okay, I know I had some concern as far as with the mobile pay app, and what if somebody either A, doesn't have a smartphone, or B, you know, you go places, sometimes my smartphone is dead or whatever. Did they mention anything about how do you have like a backup so that they could pay?
There's two things. And now the mobile app, I think we discussed this some last month. The mobile app providers, though, or at least the one that we're speaking with, you know, they're saying, well, a lot of cities are all going to mobile app only. You have to, their explanation for that question is you have to determine internally how you're going to handle that. There's obviously the option of putting in a kiosk as well, where you have a kiosk. You have a mobile app system, and you have a kiosk in the area where you're able to provide that as an option for somebody that doesn't have a telephone with them. One other thing, you don't necessarily have to have a smartphone. There was one thing that they said, if people have just the ability to have a telephone, even without the app or anything else, they do allow people to pay by phone. They actually call a 1-800 number and are able to pay in that way.
How do you verify that you live here on the app? I guess I don't understand how that works.
I do not understand how it would work either. They did say that there are capabilities in ways to determine for flexibility, you know, for how it could be implemented, whether it's for a verification of a person living here in the town, or if you said the first hour was free, or if you said the first hour was a reduced rate, or, you know, there's a lot of flexibility in how it's implemented. But I think the real important thing, and I think we talked about it some, was the trying to prevent the monopolizing of those parking spaces for the entire day from people that are using it for parking while they go to work, you know, in the Ferry Wharf area and going over there. You know, having something where to discourage them, or if they are using the parking lot, where there's a fee associated with it, instead of avoiding the cost of a parking garage that's over in their area, having some sort of fee structure for people to park at Memorial Waterfront Park to provide spaces and availability for people that want to be able to go to the playground or go fishing on the pier. And they're really, it's very, very rare that there are no spaces left. There's about 200 spaces out there. And unless there's an event going on, it's very rare that there are no spaces. However,
and also we're adding a bit, right?
Yes, we are in phase three. We are adding more. But in the real crux of it is that the good spaces, the ones under the bridge that are close to the pier, close to the playground, close to those areas, are the ones that are getting filled up. You can almost always find spaces over on the other side. So,
what do you think?
Well, you know, I think that the question here is: do we take action now, or do we wait until it becomes a problem? because I don't know what the timeline is for Ferry Wharf's completion, for when that's going to be completely built out, and when there are going to be, you know, hundreds of workers there. That could be a couple years from now. Is that correct? So I don't know if we want to engage in any sort of expense prior to that becoming a more clear problem, especially if we have to have a kiosk there, and I just don't know that it would pay for itself.
So the office building is done now and is fully rented, and the hotel will be done in the next couple months. But then after that, everything else is delayed. So it'll be a while before Ferry Wharf is fully built out.
Yeah. So I'm comfortable with for me just waiting. I think waiting a little bit to see where what happens. If we start to get complaints, if it starts to become a problem, it seems like the mobile pay app could be implemented pretty much immediately. As fast as we can move to get bids out and that kind of thing. Maybe a couple months, and then getting a kiosk in there as a backup.
I would definitely want the kiosk as a backup for people. I know I've even read some op-eds about some of the islands and people saying that that's an issue for them, the mobile pay apps. But anyway, I agree with you, Ms. Whitley, is that I just feel like if it's not a problem right now, then we shouldn't need to fix it yet. And especially with the addition of the parking spaces that are going to come with the next phase. So that's how I feel. I will say, I think in Mr. Santos's absence, we should probably just do a quick review of this next month to get his thoughts as well for the next month's agenda. But other than that, anything else? All right. We'll move on to number 6, program and project updates.
I believe you have the committee, the Recreation Committee report for the month of January, and they're very strong. The numbers are very strong. You can see our numbers are only down, what is that, about 12 total participants in our youth athletics from 2019, and almost all of that is in wrestling, in the wrestling program. Mm-hmm. Kind of understandable, I guess, given the circumstances. But really strong in basketball, and our speed training is going well. I wanted to point out in the rental area how close that is to 2019. Our rental revenue is only $100 and something off from 2019, and this is these numbers right now are actually through the end of November, so we haven't added all the December revenue in here yet. So we will exceed 2019 a little bit. So bringing in
correct. So January 1 of 2020 was when the new rental rates went into effect.
That's correct.
Yeah. So probably a significantly less volume, but the same amount of overall revenue.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a reduction in volume and greatly related.
So we could probably expect next year to greatly increase that.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yes, sir. I think that with the new rates, without a diminished number of rentals, we cut back rentals tremendously, especially through the spring and summer. We were able to still bring in very similar revenue, and we're looking forward to that, seeing how that turns out in 2021. Hopefully, with more rentals. Strong in our swim lessons and in our special events. I wanted to mention how excited I am and proud I am of how we were able to put everything and pull it together. We were able to provide a wonderful Christmas parade for our community. The holiday market was fantastic. Big showing over there as well. And I think it turned out really well with the parade. The numbers of spectators were down significantly, but that worked out really well. We ended up having probably about 8,000 people at the parade. That's an estimate. So that's hard to get a very strategic, accurate estimate on that. But that was an estimate compared to previous years. But I think everybody really enjoyed it, and we had very good feedback from folks on that. I'll tell you, the only thing I want to apologize, I wish we could have seen the fireworks a little bit better. It was, I don't know if you ever see
it. It was funny.
with all the fog that moved in that day, it was impossible to see the fireworks. I could
just like flashes of red or green lights.
it was something else. And then we also had a really neat little event just out here on the lawn. Unfortunately, it was another kind of rainy, drizzly day, and then a lot of people had backed out from coming out, but it still was a nice event and had a little theater group, a repertory group, put on a performance for us, and folks that were there really enjoyed it, some good Christmas music. And our spring registration for athletics is started yesterday, so we're ready to move into the spring and then new year. So.
What do we have upcoming in the spring as far as events?
As far as
large events?
Our large events are on. We have no plan for any changes, so our large events being the Arts Festival. We have an Arts Festival at Town Center every year in March, and we'll be planning for the Blessing of the Fleet as well as far as large events. Moving forward.
And that's typically May?
That's in April.
April.
And then moving into the early summer, I mean, we would be planning to do the party in the park and all the activities out there.
Okay. And one more question under this. We talked about Waterfront Park. Where do we stand on that project as far as, I know one of the first steps was getting the actual permission from DOT to be able to use that land, or where are we looking with that project?
JLA, our contractor, is our design contractor, is working with them, preparing the submission letters to request the use from both the Army Corps of Engineer for the wetland area and also SCDOT for the use of the area under the bridge. And along those lines, also with that project, we are moving forward with the monument portion of it, the first responders monument that's going to be installed, and hopefully in late spring we'll be able to have that completed. But it looks like it's going to be a really beautiful area, a really pretty area to recognize our public services, fire, and police departments.
Very cool. All right. Do you have any questions?
And then also I just want to say thank you to Ms. Harvey and her team. The Christmas parade was very well done, very safe, and so they did a really excellent job under crazy circumstances, so shout out to them.
Thank you. They did. I appreciate that, and I'll relay that to them. Thank you.
All right, and if nothing else, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.